The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Second Timothy chapter 2 tells us, even if I'm faithless, he is faithful still. I love that. I just love that. That was a big message. That was a big, tremendous scripture in my life when I met my wife. Yeah, that's another lesson for another time. Lord, even though everyone else forsakes you, I won't, Peter boasted. Remember that? What was the problem with that statement? I'll die beside you, he says. Really, Peter? You all know the rest of the story, don't you? By the time the rooster crowed, however, Peter had denied Jesus three times. He might have roasted that chicken, who knows? I would have. Shut up! Yeah, three times. But after Jesus rose from the dead, he hunted Peter down, found him and said, do you love me? You see, gang, three times Peter had denied him. Now Jesus gave the opportunity to say three times, I love you, Lord. Man, that's awesome. He finally said, feed my lambs. Now if it was Pastor Ben talking to Peter, I'd said, Peter, you can do grounds work. You can do maintenance work, Peter. That's about it. But no, our Lord said, feed my lambs. Notice he said lambs. That's really awesome. The little ones. Jesus said, as if to say, you're not disqualified. It's a new day for you, Peter. Your sins are forgiven. You can check that out, John 21. Dad, you might have been more concerned about your kids than you ever have. Or you might not have. You see, I look at today's society and I see that many times parents, they want to be friends, buddies, comrades. Can I hang out with you? And that's all good and fine. But you see, that's not our jobs, Dad. That's a byproduct of our jobs. See, you might be very, very concerned about them liking you, other than liking your parenting. There's a proper way to parent, Dads. And if you have been doing that, if you've just been trying to be their buddy instead of their father, it's not too late. Just like Peter, it's a new day. Starting here and now, God will see you through. You can stop. You can begin again. If you let God, if you let him, and if your kids are grown, you can still be involved with the grandchildren or kids in the congregation. They're lambs for you to feed, just like Jesus told Peter. Now, let me add that there is no embarrassment whatsoever or shame in getting parenting counseling or just some advice if you receive it. I've had several parents come and sit with me and go, you know, we got problems, we don't have to go on with it. And I'll tell them biblically what they should do, what they should start doing. Ask them a few questions, have a couple sessions, and they don't. Well, he's 18 now, or she's 18 now. And I let them decide whether who to believe in or where to go, or if even if they want to go to church. Huh? Where are they camping outside in your backyard? No, they're living in our house. So they're under your roof and they're telling you what to do. Well, no, I'm just giving them the freedom. Y'all, that's wrong. You guys, give me my kids. They might be hooligans now, but when they were living under our roof, they went to church. And even if they all know if they come back and hang out for a couple of weeks, they're going to church. It's just the way it is. Or they can sleep out with the chickers. And we all know sleeping with the chickers ain't fun, is it? No, it's not. You guys need to lighten up this morning. I'm trying to be funny. Anyone ever had chickers? No one? Yeah. That guy had chickers back there because he ran away from home and slept in the woods one day. Yeah. So you guys know, don't you? You know about chickens. They'll eat you up. And so I think it's God's, you know, way of handling runaways. At any rate, I believe with all my heart that we need to parent instead of trying to be the very best friend that they've ever had. And if you are in need of advice, we all need advice, all of us, in some way, form, or fashion, I would suggest that you would receive maybe some advice. Dads, many times we're not experts. We're just dads trying to make it, trying to hold the fort down, trying to make money, trying to do this, trying to fix the car. A thousand things going on. We're just dads. I will say, Pastor is one of the best learned and knowledgeable family pastors I know. I mean that with all my heart. And he puts it into action. He's constantly reading, constantly on the internet looking for different things about families. He is something else. He's not a bad worship leader either, but he's a much better family pastor. I always tell him that. I guess because, you know, I tell him that because I get... Then I ask him if I can hang out with my granddaughter. But seriously, he is very good. And it just so happens that Pastor is your children's pastor here at the chapel. So Dad, don't be prideful if you're having challenges or struggles. We all have struggles and challenges. We all do. I'm sure Pastor would love to have some free lunch. So you can put that in your pocket, take him out to lunch and get some advice. Well, if you're taking notes, number three truth or life lesson is it's a strong declaration. It is, isn't it? Isn't it a strong declaration? Have you ever heard a lady, a woman of God say, "It's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? No, that's kind of a guy statement, isn't it? And it's a strong declaration that we all should, as fathers and dads, that we should be able to speak out and speak out in strength. That's strong. Declaration. Dads, we need men today who will not turn to the wives and say, "What do you think, honey? Should we serve the Lord?" Can you imagine that? I've heard that before, by the way. No, we need men like Joshua who will declare directly, powerfully, and boldly that they will indeed serve the Lord and their whole family. But did you know? As we look at Joshua, if I could just be Joshua, I don't have the strength of Joshua. I'm not the man like Joshua. No. Did you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, the late Paul Harvey? Joshua was not evidently always a strong leader. After Moses died, God told him 3 times in 1 chapter to be strong and very courageous. God told him 3 times. What do you think God's saying? I don't know about you, Joshua. I'm telling you 3 times. When God tells you something 3 times, you better listen. In 1 chapter. And if that wasn't enough, even the people said, "We'll follow Joshua under one circumstance only. Be strong and very courageous." You know, I believe with all my heart, evidently Joshua needed this exhortation from the Lord and this encouragement from the congregation because he was a little wimpy. And so, Dad, again, being dads, fathering, It's not for wimps. Not for wimps. We need exhortation from the Lord too. And we need encouragement from each other as well. You know, that's what these men's breakfasts are about. We kind of talk to each other, speak about what's going on in our lives and our families. We need encouragement as well. We need exhortation from our God. Gang, I believe we live in a day when men basically wimp out. All too frequently. Not all, but a lot. We want to be tender and sensitive and especially politically correct. PC. I think we're just about done with that. I think there's a lot of us finally going, forget about it. No more politically correctness. No, we need to be men. We need to be strong. We need to be biblical, have biblical examples. However, is that we ought to be men who say with strength to our families, to the world today, with certainty in our voices. We're not going to back away. This is the way it's got to be. This is the way it will be. For goodness sakes. For God's sakes. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Period. Church, let me be very clear. We need strong men once again in our families, in this nation. Strong men. I won't even get to the Chicago and the political thing about, you know, absentee fathers and no fathers and the statistics that prove that without a father in a family, the family just is really hurting. You guys know all that stuff. You need to be strong, very strong. Now, please understand me. I'm not talking about arrogancy, brutality. No, that's not it. I'm talking about men who will say with firmness, truth, and love, son, daughter, I don't care if anyone else has those posters on their walls. With firmness, you're not going to have them. Sorry. I don't care if everyone's listening to that those songs. They're not going to be played in this house. I don't care if anyone else watches every kind of movie that comes out. You're not going to. Why? Because for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to serve Hollywood or anything else like it. We're not going to serve the world. We're going to serve God. We're going to serve God. Here's my motto. Always been. As long as you live under my roof, I'm responsible for you. I don't care if it's animals or humans. If you live under my roof, I'm responsible for you. I don't even care if you live in my basement. I'm still responsible for you. And I care about you. I want the very best to come your way. And I know these things, those things that we had talked about, will pollute and destroy you. I know. I've been there. Although you might be angry with me now, and check this out, I would write this down. I care more about you than what you think of me. You guys check that out? I've pulled that out of my hip pocket several times, and they look at me and go, huh? They kind of can't figure it out. My girls figured it out right away. My guys, they had to think about it for a day or two. But once they got it, they understood it. I care more about you than what you think of me. Dads, that's real love. That's real love. That's where the buckwheat stands. I believe much of today's parenting is rooted in selfish and sinful selfishness. Why? Well, again, going back to my earlier point, parents want their kids to like them too much. But that is not what scriptural parenting is about. Yes, of course they like you, but they need to honor you. They need to respect you. Oh, it's wonderful. If and when our kids like us, then they feel great. and just rub up to you and hug you, your kids or your grandkids. But gang, that's not the goal. The goal is to raise your kids in a way that will be beneficial to them in the days to come and on into eternity. That's our job, Dad. Sorry. That's what we do. Moms, a little bit different. A little bit different. Dad's, our job is to prepare them for what's coming. Children are like CDs. They're always running and always recording. The question is, what do you want to be on the CD of your child's soul and mind? The congregation of Israel said to Joshua, "We'll follow you, only be strong and of good courage." Dad, your wife, kids, and grandchildren are saying the same thing this morning. Whether it's articulated or not, your family wants you to be strong and courageous. They want you to hold the line spiritually. I don't think any woman that's married here today would volunteer and say, "Hey, I'll take the spiritual role." They don't want that. That's your job, man. Don't give it up. There's always that thing with us that we're many times, and I can say this from experience, it just seems like the enemy wants to take the backbone out of men. Spiritually, they got half the battle won. The congregation of Israel said to Joshua, "We'll follow you, only be strong and of good courage." Dad, your wife, kids, grandchildren are saying the same thing today. That's all they want. Wants to be strong, courageous. Whether it's articulated or not, the family wants you to be strong and courageous. I said that again because it's so important. Get that, guys. So important. Now, a small commercial break. Small commercial break. We're going to get away from dads. We're going to bring the moms in. Just for a second. If you're a single mom or married to a no good guy, no, married to a man who won't take the reins, who won't take leadership, you need to step up and step in yourself, ladies. And you do. I know many ladies here that has completely reared for years and years their children by themselves. I take my hat off to you. Ladies, you need to do what Deborah did in the Old Testament day. What did Deborah do? Well, commander-in-chief of Israel's fighting forces wouldn't take the lead. Deborah said, "If you won't lead, then I've got to." Well, I guess then she took the reins and led. And she did just that. As a result, she goes down in history as an example of what a woman ought to do if a man won't do the things he's called to do by God. Way to go, ladies. Way to go, Deborah. In short, if there is no man to lead, then the woman needs to step up and step in because the kids are far too important. Amen? Far too important. And by the way, I don't know. I think God's humor, you know. He had Deborah come in. She was the most awesome judge and general and eventually president in that time. She did a wonderful job. You need to read the story. It's an awesome story about Deborah. So we need to lead. And if we don't, then ladies, you need to pick it up. And you will. I know you will. I've seen you do it. Seen you do it. They're far too important not to. Gang, it is essential that they are trained properly by loving parents who will say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The fourth and final truth or life lesson this morning, it's a wonderful expectation. Wonderful expectation. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Expectation? Well, of course it is. "We will serve the Lord," said Joshua. In other words, I expect this to be a reality, not just lip service. Let's just not talk about it. Let's do something about it. My family will serve the Lord right beside me. Watch me. Watch what happens. I'm going to do something here. I'm just not going to give you a bunch of lip service. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. But we must put something on our faith. need to put shoes or something on there to move. Is it really faith? James says, if there's no works behind it, is it really faith? I can sit there all day long and say, I love God, but what's my actions say? Therefore, dads, husbands, grandpas, you need to say, I have faith that God will do what he promises, and I'm going to get up and prove it to you. So what has God promised anyway? He has promised that he who has begun a good work will be faithful to perform it. That's what he said. Him, a good work in and through you. Philippians 1:6 is recorded by Paul. That he is able to keep that which is committed to him. That'd be us, by the way. 2 Timothy 1:2. And finally, that if you train up your child in the way that he'll go, even if he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Can I be honest with you? 10 years ago, I think probably only one, maybe two of my five children were following the Lord. The other three were renegades. Renegades. Let's say this. I'd hate to come up on them on a dark alley. Renegades. They were younger. Now, today, they're all serving God. They all love the Lord. See, it might take a while, but if you train them up, if you do your part, Dad, they're going to come back. They're going to remember that, Dad, because there's something in you, in us, that they look at and they really, really appreciate. Daddy, you're Dad. You're Dad. You're that guy. They're everything most of the time. For little girls, they love their daddy. For guys, they inspire to be like their dads. And so if you train them up while they're in your home, it'll come full fruition. It'll come right back. And that's who they'll want to be. It's important to know that, dads. Please, dads, remember Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and also your whole house, Paul told the Philippian jailer. In other words, Dad, if you believe, not only will you be saved, but in due time, if you continue to be that dad we're speaking about, in due time, your whole family will be saved too, because you're Dad. You're the leader. You're the guy. You're the provider. On and on and on and on and on and on. They look at you. The rock. In due time, they will follow along. Church, that's God's heart, by the way. I want you to know that. That's his heart. That's the Father's heart. For 120 years, Noah, you know the guy that built the little skip? Pounded away on the ark, preparing it not only for the animals, but also for his wife, three sons, and their wives too. Everyone knows that. Amen? Say amen. Okay, but did you know this? This convicts me, by the way. What amazes me is they prepared these rooms 20 years before his sons were even born. I don't think there's any hedge funds or stock funds that can prepare like they did. 20 years. He had faith. He knew God was going to do something there. He built this thing with the rooms in it, knowing that he was going to have children. Wow. I have here on my paper, bam, shakalaka. But no one's sleeping this morning, so I don't have to say that. That's faith. It's faith. We're having fun this morning. You can do the same thing, Dad and Grandpa. What same thing? Well, have that faith that Noah had. You mean you want me to go out and build rooms? No, not at all. But you can have the same faith. In faith, just say, I believe my family will indeed serve the Lord. I believe that my kids will follow me. My wife will follow me. My family will follow me. And they won't be wiped out and washed away, but they'll be on the ark of salvation with me. So have faith, fellas. Believe. It's important because without faith, it's impossible to please our Heavenly Father. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hey, dads, how about this? How about you guys all stand up? Dad, stand up. Please. Expect it to be so. Realize it to begin with you. It begins with you. Realize that. Know that. And then break out in celebration as you remember Well, heaven, where we will all serve the Lord perfectly and eternally. So all at one time, let's say what Joshua declared. As for... That was a train wreck. One more time. See, ladies, see how sharp we are? One, two, three. As for... Amen. You may be seated. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Father, thank you for the lesson. Hey, as the guys come back up and finish this out. Hey, I have something, a story to tell you. I started it last week. We were, I don't know if any of you know, but he was a deacon here for many, many years. Had cancer, went through a lot of trials and different things. And we are praying, I want you guys to pray about this, about, we've already planted a church in Greensboro, and we planted a church up in Lake, not Lake City, what, Green Lake, what? What's that place, the military town around? What? Spring Lake. I can't hear. It's a biker church. And by the way, every church is now, they're larger than ours, but that's okay. Praise the Lord. Now we're really thinking about launching one in Shiloh, Holden Beach area. And he has already maybe 20, 25 people that would like to join him in the Adventure of Faith of the Calvary Chapel. And so I was honored to facilitate his youngest son's wedding. So I was trucking up that way Friday to do that wedding, and that's where I was last week. So I was out in the middle of nowhere, and one of my back tires completely disintegrated, and the whole tread came completely off. I mean, just like a truck tire, completely off, and rolled to a stop. My car got air. I thought I was going over, but the Lord didn't let that happen. We pulled off the side of the road. I get out, and it's all, this is an inner tube back there. All the treads completely off. This is an inner tube. But it had not exploded. At least it was still a full inner tube. So I look back. Everybody's okay. I had my mother-in-law and my wife. I look back at and I thought, I need to say something, because I saw her fright. And I said, look to this as just an adventure. And she did one of these, just like her mother. And she looked at me, she said, Poppy, adventure? This is a life and death experience. That girl's something else. So I don't have a signal. We're out in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing, swamps. There's some corporate corn farms. That's it. A couple, huge corporate corn farm. And so I'm like, I don't have a signal. And so I get my donut out. You guys know what a donut is. Get it out, no air. I haven't used that donut since I bought the car. There's no air in the donut. So I walk up the ways, and I finally got signal, a little signal. I called AAA, and they said, well, we don't come out and fill up donuts. What do I give you money for? By the way, we don't even know where you're at. You're out there so far, we have to trip. We have to find out where you are. So we're really upset. We're sitting there and sitting there. And so I'm in the back of the car looking at the donut. All of a sudden, this guy, and he's standing there. And I'm going, oh! He said, you haven't... Problems? Yeah, I'm having problems. And so we talked a little bit. The guy really scared me. He was shaking too all the time. He was shaking. He had no teeth hardly. Spitting tobacco. So I said, I got to get some air in this donut. He goes, I'll take care of it for you. And he grabbed the donut and took off walking. Where's he going with my donut? He just grabbed it and took off walking. So I follow him with that tire thinking, and he was going down his driveway, and it was like a mile driveway. Couldn't even see his house or anything, just a driveway. gravel. So I go down, I pick him up. I say, hey, man, you don't need to walk that far. You know, he was struggling with the donut, by the way. He gets in the car. We ride down to his place. Long story short, if I can do this, loves the Lord. He's got Parkinson's. And he had this huge barns in the middle of these corporate farms. And his job was to change tires. Change tires, all kinds of tires. Tractor trailer tires, these combine tires, that's his job. And he had this company from his father, and then he got sick, and so he gave it to his four sons, and they run it. Well, we fixed the tire, and we put it on. And during the process, all the girls went in his house. Of course, it was a bachelor house, and so it was pretty cluttered. And then I got done. Well, throughout the conversation, this guy loved the Lord, loves the Lord. Well, I want you to know, the reason I gave him that tire is because the Lord told me to. He said, I've sent this man. Clear as the bell. I think about it, I get teary-eyed. He said he was going out to the mailbox, looked over and saw us, and the Lord spoke to him, help that man. So he did. And went into his house, washed up. Of course, crosses and Bibles everywhere. We all prayed, and I said, do I owe you any money? No, I got everything I need. He says, but I do want a prayer that you would pray now, and you'd pray every day as much as you think about me. His name was Kate. What is it? He says, pray that God would take me as soon as he can, because I lost my wife 2 years ago to cancer, and I want to be with her. I miss her every day. Well, of course, got everybody crying. And I said, well, I don't know. I guess it's a prayer. You know, God take him. I don't know. I prayed the prayer, we exchanged numbers, I got in my car, and started to take off, and guess what? In his driveway came AAA. The guy comes up and goes, we don't need you anymore, go back home. And so we completed our trip. I truly believe it says that was an angel. And I thought it was a great testimony to God's love for us. He takes care of us. You know that? That man loved it. He loved it. He enhanced the conversation, let alone, you know, people praying with him. And so know that God loves you. God loves you. Let's stand for that song.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know him more.